Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, the crowd was pressing in on him to hear him. He saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out to the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. And so they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
I invite you to be seated. Jesus sits. It's the posture of teaching from the Torah when you're in the synagogue. But he's not in the synagogue. He's in a boat on the sea, a makeshift place, teaching not from the Torah scroll, but by his own authority. It raises a question. What does a holy space look like? What makes a space holy? Where do we encounter Jesus and his teaching? In Matthew, Jesus says, "Where two or more are gathered in his name, there he is." The gospel always shows Jesus on the move, out among the people. The important thing is not the space. The holy thing is not the building, but the people. Followers of Jesus gathered around his word, his teaching, and his sacraments. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God are not bound to this place. The Spirit is active in the world right now, out among you all. So what might it mean to think of our worship, our encounter with Jesus, of the holy, as something that can and does and will happen outside of these four walls? Another question the text raises is, what does it mean to follow Jesus? Listen. Listen to Jesus even when it goes against our knowledge gained through experience. Peter and his crew have been out fishing all night long. And they did this because the type of nets that they were using would have been seen by the fish in the daylight. And after a long, hard night of work, they caught bupkis. And so now they're in the early morning, they're cleaning the nets, they're washing them out, they're mending them, they're laying them out to dry. And then, since they don't have to go to market to sell their fish, go home, get some rest before they do it again. And then this rabbi comes along. He interrupts their work so that he can teach all these people without getting squished. Peter and his crew accommodate him. take him out a little ways off the shore. And then when he's finally done talking to the people, instead of allowing them to get back to their task, go home and rest, this carpenter tries to tell them their jobs. Hey, go out into the deep water and drop your nets. Peter points out, hey, we've worked ourselves to exhaustion and we've caught nothing. Plus, it's not the right time of day for the equipment that we have. But okay. Peter listens to Jesus, does what he asks, even when Peter knows, as an experienced fisherman, it will be a fruitless waste of time, energy, and resources. Peter listens to Jesus. Acknowledge our reality. I am a sinner. When Peter is confronted with the reality that Jesus is something different, he falls to his knees and he begs Jesus to go away from him. I am a sinful man. The word Peter uses for sin is an archery term, hamartia. It means to miss the mark. Go away from me, Lord, for I miss the mark in my life. I am a mess. I aim at one thing and wind up somewhere else. He speaks the truth. He is a mess. We all are a mess. We are all sinners. We all miss the mark of who we are called to be as followers of Jesus. And the sooner we acknowledge that, name this reality to ourselves, confess that reality to Jesus, the sooner Jesus can equip us to fish for people. Because when we acknowledge our reality, we're a mess. We miss the mark. When we listen to what Jesus says, even when it sounds like a fruitless waste of time, energy, and resources, when we get out of the way, Jesus can do great things even through messy us. An abundant catch of fish. Enough to sink two boats, almost. 3,000 joining the church in one day in the Gospel of Acts, taking a small group of disciples and believers and growing it into the largest religion in the world. When we listen, when we acknowledge the reality of who we are as messy people, God in Jesus will do amazing things through us. What is it God is calling us to now, here at St. John? We've weathered a storm. These past 2+ years of pandemic have been a storm that has beached many other ships, congregations in our own area, across the state, across our country. The storm of the pandemic has accelerated trends that already existed. And I'm convinced that there will be fewer Lutheran congregations in the Cedar Rapids area at the end of 2022 than there were at the beginning. But we won't be one of them. Thanks be to God. As we'll see in just a bit, we ended last year in a strong financial position. And as we've already seen and will continue to see through these videos and the written reports in front of you, we have been active over the past year in growing. Growing in faith towards God, love to one another, generosity to all. The seas are still choppy, yes, but there is fairer weather ahead. Now, after all this time, we may feel a bit like Peter. We've been working hard and don't see any results. Now, is this purely because of the storm of the last few years that has battered and bruised us, perhaps? Or might it mean that we haven't been fishing in the right place? that we haven't gone out far enough into the deep water. The way to know is to listen. I would invite us in this year of 2022, first to give thanks to God. Thanks for all that God has done for us as individuals and as a community of faith to weather these past 2 years. Give thanks for the gifts of technological skill and ingenuity that made our move to online worship almost instantaneous as soon as the pandemic started to happen. I personally give thanks to God for Tina Elwood Gerke, who in those early days was here for every worship service in those first few months. I give thanks for my wife, Karen, who ran the PowerPoint week after week after week. For Debbie, who, God bless her, has always gone with the flow. I give thanks for Terry Yard and his gifts that helped us make that move to the next level of live streaming and broadcasting, improvements in quality and ease, in the ways in which we kept assembling around word and sacrament. I give thanks for our leadership, for Guy Schultz and Cindy Angler, our council presidents, who each brought different gifts to the table as we made hard decisions, who've navigated troubled waters with us, and with God's help, we came out the other side. I'm thankful for our finance committee and the councils that we have had who worked hard during this pandemic to keep us and place us in a better place financially. And I give thanks for each and every one of you who have been willing throughout these past 2 years to live out your faith in new ways, who have adopted to online and masked and outside, you've offered of yourselves to help with worship through hosting, who have provided food for fellowship, who have gathered together in the ways that we could to take in food so that others might eat, who have given so that folks might have Christmas, who have generously supported the mission and ministry of St. John. And so I would invite us to be thankful to the God who has given us all of these resources, all of the people who make up St. John, all of the talents that we have, all of the financial resources that we have been given to weather this storm. Thanks be to God. I would invite us to listen this year to Jesus. There are a number of ways to do that, but two main ways is to listen anew to the teaching of Jesus through Scripture. Another is through a renewal of our prayer life. And as we do this, to consider where God is calling us to go. To listen for how and where we as a community are called to fish. Let us be diligent in our listening, open to the possibility that we might be called out to some deep water, to do some things that we aren't quite sure will work, that might even seem like a grand waste of time, energy, and resources. But remember what can happen when we listen to Jesus. Abundant things. And as we give thanks and as we listen, I would invite us to remember we do not exist for ourselves, for the preservation of this building, but for the life-saving proclamation of the good news of God in Jesus Christ and what that life means for those who believe. Life fuller and more abundant now, in this time, even in the midst of difficulty and change, yes, but also life age long. And so I invite us, and I am inspired by what is in your reports there and what is on the videos on the screen. Let us give thanks this day. For we have a God whose desire for us is not to condemn us because we are sinful, messy people, not to punish us and send us away, but just like Peter, to call us to follow his Son, Jesus, to work through us and our messiness, to call others to follow, so that all might receive what God has first given us, forgiveness, healing, grace, and mercy, so that we all might be blessed. Thanks be to God. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Oh, there's Lutherans, huh? I invite us to stand as we sing our hymn of the day.